We talked about the first weekend of the strike, which is known as Bloody Sunday in the Labour tradition. But the whole strike was very violent. I mean, there was police breaking into tenements and attacking them en masse in the first few weeks of the strike.
Yeah, that's true. There was there was a lot of violence, which has tended to be forgotten now. People just think about Bloody Sunday. But there was, on both sides. Another thing that happened was, again, it's been forgotten now, but a lot of employers were justices of the peace, and in those days a justice of the peace could issue a firearms licence. And a lot of employers used this capacity to arm the scabs that they brought into the city. And there were a number of shooting incidents in the city where scabs, under threat or actual attack from strikers or crowds, actually fired. I suppose the only amazing thing is there weren't more people shot. But there were a number of incidents where people were shot. Nobody died. There was one girl who was shot, Alice Brady. Wasn't shot. Directly. She was part of a crowd that cornered a couple of coal men who were scabs on the south side of the city, and one of the scabs fired this revolver into the ground in front of the crowd, and a ricochet hit her on the arm, and she subsequently died. But she actually died of tetanus, which was probably due to the fact that because she'd been on strike for so many months, she'd be generally weak in condition, her immune system would be down. But she died of tetanus. But it passed into folklore that she'd been shot by a. Well, in fact, somebody said she'd been shot by a soldier. It was actually by a scab. But that she'd been sort of. It gave the impression that she'd been killed by a. Gunfire, but that wasn't the case. I mean, what took a big toll on the population was just the hardship. And while attention concentrates understandably on the strikers, at least if you were a striker, you were getting strike pay, you were getting food consignments. You could send your children to Liberty Hall to the food kitchen to get food, and so on. But if you weren't in a union, and the majority of working class Dubliners weren't in a union, you had to fall back on the charity of St. Vincent de Paul, and the amounts that they paid out were ridiculously small, and they would only go to the deserving poor. In other words, they'd only go to people who weren't in a union, who didn't support a union, and who would take any job that was offered to them. And quite often priests would go around to homes and interview people to see if they were suitable recipients for charity, but the amounts paid were tiny. I think I did some sums. It worked out something like 2 shillings and 3 pence, which would be less than 15 cents, well, about 15 cents in modern money, for the whole, not a week now, but for the entire duration of the strike. So how people survived in those circumstances, it's hard to understand. There were various things that happened, like obviously people would pawn as much stuff as they could. They would get into debt with moneylenders. There were quite a lot of attacks on coal wagons in the winter when weather got bad, where people in sheer desperation were attacking consignments of coal, which were often escorted by the military, particularly any consignments going to Dublin Castle or military barracks and so on would get an army escort to protect them. But ordinary commercial consignments, like the one attacked by the group that Alice Brady belonged to, the woman who was shot, they would just be, they may have police escorts in some cases, but there was so much going on in the city, so it was so disturbed that police and military escorts weren't possible for every consignment. So in many of those cases, people would simply overwhelm the people carrying the coal and just drag the bags off and share them amongst themselves.